more is being known and discovered about mental illness in these days than in decades past. But what have scientists recently discovered? Stay tuned and find out. Well, welcome listeners to day two of our newsworthy article for the month of July, and we're happy to have you back. I'm joined again by two great panelists, so I want them to just introduce themselves a little bit today. Who do we have back in the studio?
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's always great to be here, and we have another interesting article, so I'm interested and excited to talk about it.
Hi, and it's me, Lois, here with you, and glad to be able to join Amanda and Campbell, and we hope you have a good time listening to this program today, and it becomes very informative.
Exactly, yes. Can't agree more with you, Lois. Well, thank you both for coming back. And just as we get into today's article, we learn in the title, Geneticists Uncover Key Clue to Schizophrenia. So just to kick us off for today or begin, Campbell, can you share with us what the word geneticist means?
Sure. Well, in the word geneticist, we see the word genetic. And so a geneticist is just someone who studies genes and genetics.
Right. Now, we're not talking about the genes we wear.
No. Genes as in G-E-N-E-S, your DNA, what makes you up.
Right, yes. And in this title, we also have the word schizophrenia, Lois.
Right, schizophrenia. For years, I said that word wrong, but it is pronounced schizophrenia. And it's the definition we have in our specialized terms for this is on page 21, and it says a mental disorder where the person cannot differentiate between what is real and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
One of our best examples in modern time film of this is the movie A Beautiful Mind, mm-hmm. starring Russell Crowe. If you have not seen that movie, I would highly recommend it,
mm-hmm. yeah.
because this might actually give you a portrayal of what it's like to live with this.
Right, yeah. And what's interesting, we did an article a few months ago with some nurses from Seattle where we talked about schizophrenia. And mm-hmm. there's actually different types of schizophrenia. You can have where you feel things that are not there, or you can mm-hmm. see things that are not there, you can hear things, and just the different senses. So, mm-hmm. and there's different levels of schizophrenia, too.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, schizophrenia, it can be confused with multiple personality disorders.
Right.
I used to think the two were the same, but mm-hmm. they're different. You know, multiple personality disorder, a person might have different personalities that
right.
come out at different times. But schizophrenia just means that they've lost touch with reality.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, they think certain things are true that are not true.
Right.
Right.
And they may truly see something that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
They're convinced it is. And we don't see it, but they see it. And I actually have a friend whose cousin, first cousin, has this.
Mm-hmm.
It's been quite a disability for him,
yeah.
but he's lived with it.
Mm-hmm.
And his family and his extended family have been very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helps.
Right, yeah. So in this case, a lot of times people have a failure to understand what is really real. To them, it seems very real, or a false sense of reality, when it, in actual fact, it is not real. But it can take some time for doctors to diagnose schizophrenia as well, as there are many different, like you mentioned as well, multiple personalities, Campbell. Doctors have to figure out which mental illness it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself and my own family, I have one sister that
mm-hmm.
Suffers from mental illness, and at one point they did think that she had schizophrenia,
nice.
But in actual fact it wasn't.
Nice.
So it can take some time to
yeah.
diagnose it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would think they wouldn't be able to get the final conclusion until you are an adult.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they would have to go through several processes, but it probably wouldn't happen. The final mm-hmm. diagnosis till you're an adult.
And sometimes it would be hard because, like, for example, if I talk about the fact that I have a cat, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you've never been to my house, you wouldn't know if I have a cat or not.
Right.
But I just think I have a cat, you
yeah.
know, and that sounds like a normal thing to you.
Right.
But you wouldn't really know that I don't have a cat, and I don't ever talk about having a cat. So
yeah.
I don't have schizophrenia, but You know what I'm saying? Just something that it would be hard to diagnose and hard to really catch.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it takes time, right? Well, we are going to learn a little bit more about this today. So, listeners, we invite you to turn to page 21 in your Advanced magazine, and let's begin today's reading on column 1, line 19.
Geneticists uncover key clue to schizophrenia. Scientists say they have broken new ground in the study of schizophrenia, uncovering a potentially powerful genetic contributor to the mental disorder and helping to explain why its symptoms of confused and delusional thinking most often reach a crisis state as a person nears the cusp of adulthood. In a study published in the journal Nature, researchers at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard show that immune-related genetic variations linked to schizophrenia play a key role in prompting the pruning of brain connections in late adolescence. That pruning of synapses, the connections among brain cells that proliferate with wild abandon throughout infancy and childhood, appears to play a key role in humans' cognitive transition to adulthood. If that process were altered by a slight change in a gene, the scientists surmised, that transition may be disrupted with disastrous results.
Well, in this article, it is a scientific article. We learn about scientists and some new research that they're doing. We learn that scientists say they have broken new ground in the study of schizophrenia. Now, when we say something has broken new ground, we're talking about something having been discovered, something new having been discovered. And so this is great with regard to schizophrenia. It's uncovering a potentially powerful genetic contributor. And when we say something is a contributor, what does that mean, Campbell?
It means, well, the word contribute means something that adds to it or something that causes something else. So we're talking about something that might be the cause for schizophrenia, something that might be the reason why people might develop schizophrenia.
Good. Yeah, it goes on to say that this may help explain why its symptoms of confused and delusional thinking most often reach a crisis state as a person nears the cusp of adulthood. Now, that's a very long sentence, and just going from helping to explain why its symptoms of confused and delusional thinking. When something is delusional, what are we talking about there,
well,
Lois?
We often think of something being delusional is it's not there, it's not happening, it's not reality.
Right. They think it's real, but it's not.
Right. We often might say it's dreamt up.
Yeah, that's another phrase we use.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, good. And that this delusional thinking most often reach a crisis state. When something is at crisis state, Campbell, what is it?
It's a dangerous place.
Like an emergency, right? And this happens as a person nears the cusp of adulthood. Now, what does that word mean?
Great word, cusp. We don't use it enough. It's a great word. The dividing line between two very different things. Okay, so the nears the cusp of adulthood. So you're going to leave your childish years, whether it be, you know, infant, toddler, adolescence, teenage years, now you're going to enter adulthood.
Good. So here it's talking cusp of adulthood, right? And so that would be leaving the teenage years and heading into adulthood. I know we use, 18, 19, we use that word there, and then 20. Of course, in different countries, adulthood is at a different age. But that is the time that we're talking about when we say this.
I think you have to ask a mother, a mother who's raised her children already, when adulthood actually hits.
Well, sometimes I still feel like I'm not an adult either.
Oh, you and me both, Campbell, and I'm a lot older than you.
We're all on the cusp of adulthood. Well, we learn in a study published in the journal Nature, we learned that researchers at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard have found something out. Now, let's first of all look at the Broad Institute of MIT. What does MIT stand for, Lois?
That would be the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Is that correct, Campbell?
That's right. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's one of the top universities in the United States.
Right. And this Broad Institute there is a research organization. They research medicine at the gene and molecular level. Now, I know Campbell mentioned at the beginning of the program that gene is talking about at the DNA level. So we're talking about a very, very small level, probably needing to use microscopes, if not even smaller, to look into this. And so the Broad Institute is specializing in this. And we see Harvard University is joining them in that. Now, they're specifically looking at an immune-related genetic variation that links schizophrenia to play a key role in prompting the cutting of brain connections in late adolescence. Wow. Again, a long sentence. We are talking about science here, so let's break it down. What do we mean when we're talking about immune-related?
Well, we think of immune, we think of our immune system, right?
Yes.
And we think what we have ourselves, what are we made up of, our DNA. So we think of our immune system and what we're oftentimes, what you're often able to fight off.
Yes. Very good. Yes, so here, these genes are related to the immune system, and there are variations of this kind of gene that are linked to schizophrenia. Okay, and so when a person has schizophrenia, the genes that relate to their immune system have a variation that may be different from a normal person. Okay, what's considered normal. Now, these genes play a key role. What does a key role mean, Campbell?
Well, an important part. So they play an important part in causing, basically, these brain connections to get cut, right? So we use the word prune here, and that means to cut.
Right. So something's happening with the connections, brain connections, when somebody is in their adolescence. Now, what age is adolescence, Lois?
Well, adolescence is, I think, about age 11. Does it start at age 11 now?
Yeah, usually we talk about like the teenage years, so
yeah.
The preteens to the teenage years, your junior high, high school years.
Right.
Right. Okay.
We often call some of those years the tween years, and then we have the teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's happening to a person with schizophrenia during adolescence? They're having a variation in the gene, immune-related gene, that has to do with their brain connections.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's a lot to take in. You're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
As our panelists are doing really well right now, too. Well, let's learn a bit about that pruning. We go on to see that pruning of the synapses.
Mm-hmm.
They are what in the brain?
Well, the synapses, when we talk about synapses, we're talking about these brain connections, right? The connections between the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So the pruning of the synapses, the connections among brain cells that proliferate with wild abandon through infancy and childhood, appears to play a key role in humans' cognitive transition to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So that long sentence basically says that as you're growing from being a baby to being a child, your brain is making thousands and millions of connections, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're learning things.
Right.
You're learning how to control your body. Your brain is creating these millions of connections. But as you get older, some of these connections are lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they get disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Which explains why it's a lot easier for children to learn things rather than adults, right?
Right.
So they're able to kind of absorb, but as they grow, certain of these synapses get pruned or they get cut. And for the vast majority of people, the pruning and the cutting doesn't cause any, you know, anything terribly abnormal.
Right. A negative side effect. Right,
exactly. Right? But in the case of a person with synapses, maybe some crucial synapses get cut that shouldn't have been pruned.
Right. Yeah, and so we also have some vocabulary focus words in here. We see the word proliferate.
Right. Proliferate is also in our vocabulary focus, and it means to increase a lot and suddenly in number.
So that's what Campbell was talking about when he said there's a lot of these synapses that are happening during your infancy and childhood,
right.
And that they appear to play an important role, a key role, in humans' cognitive transition. Now, cognitive transition, cognitive is a word meaning our understanding and knowledge of something. So mm-hmm. a human's knowledge or understanding, as they transition, they change into adulthood.
Right. So when we're talking about adolescence, again, this is the time period when someone shifts from childhood into mm-hmm. adulthood, mm-hmm. right? So their bodies are maturing, mm-hmm. their psychology is maturing, their cognitive knowledge and awareness of the world is maturing.
Yeah. And one thing we notice is parents right away, they now have control of their fine motor skills mm-hmm. and gross motor skills,
right.
And all those things start showing up
mm-hmm.
and make us realize, oh, yes, they are moving along.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if that process were altered, were changed by a slight change in a gene, the scientists surmised that transition may be disrupted with disastrous effects. So scientists have guessed that any transition or break in that gene will have disastrous effects. Well, let's go on to our next reading to learn more about those disastrous effects.
The study offers the first clear evidence of a neurobiological basis for a disease that places lifelong burdens on patients and their families. Since schizophrenia was first described over a century ago, its underlying biology has been a black box, in part because it has been virtually impossible to model the disorder in cells or animals, said geneticist Stephen McCarroll of the Broad Institute and Harvard Medical School, the paper's senior author. The human genome is providing a powerful new way into this disease.
Well, Lois, as we go into this next paragraph, what does this study offer?
Well, it says it offers the first clear evidence of a neurobiological basis for a disease that places lifelong burdens on patients and their families.
So maybe this will actually give families and patients a bit of relief, mm-hmm. right? Some evidence as to what is going on in the brain of someone that is suffering from schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about neurobiological things, what are we talking about, Campbell?
Well, we see several words and prefixes and suffixes in here, right? Neuro, whenever we see anything with neuro, we're talking about things relating to the brain and cognitive function, mm-hmm. right? And biological, again, is just having to do with life.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that there is a physical connection, right? Mm-hmm. Something to do with your own physical genes and the things that are going on in your brain here.
Mm, good. So now scientists are showing some evidence about what is happening in the brain for someone that suffers from schizophrenia, and we see that this disease places a lifelong burden on patients and their families. What do we mean when we say something is a lifelong burden, Lois?
Lifelong means exactly that. It goes on for the rest of your life, and it's a long journey through life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this would make the journey through life possibly seem longer and harder.
Mm. Yeah, and a burden is something like a challenge or a trial, that's a difficulty that somebody has to go through, right?
A heavy load, sometimes we'll say, I have a burden or I have a heavy load.
Right. Well, we go on to see that since schizophrenia was first described over a century ago, and a century is 100 years, its underlying biology has been a black box.
Yeah, I found this interesting, black box.
Yeah, tell us about black box.
I kept thinking about airplanes.
Right.
And any of us who read or watch the news or listen to it hear about the black box an awful lot in this decade. But here we're talking about a black box, something that is mysterious in function, or what its function is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for a long time, schizophrenia, many people didn't know. It was a mystery. So here, Black Box is talking about the fact that it's a mystery of what its underlying biology was like.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say that there's a reason for that in the next part of the sentence, Campbell.
Right, it says, in part because it has been virtually impossible to model the disorder in cells or animals. So it's been hard for them to really kind of create an example or something to study.
Right.
And then their studies become inconclusive, right? Because here you're starting with something that isn't even going to give you even close to a conclusive answer.
Right. And I mean, as you were saying earlier at the beginning of the program, schizophrenia is hard to diagnose, and it doesn't look a certain way. It's not every case looks exactly the same. So
Right. You
might think this person has schizophrenia, but in the end they don't, you know, or maybe you think they don't, but then they do. So it's hard to really decipher and say, okay, this animal or this person is suffering from schizophrenia. So then it becomes hard to study them.
Right. When we're doing studies or tests, we are looking for common characteristics or features of something. So that does make that very difficult. Well, this comes from geneticist Stephen McCarroll of the Broad Institute and Harvard Medical School. He is the paper's senior author. Now, what does he go on to say there, Lois?
It says the human genome is providing a powerful new way into this disease.
Mm.
And when we have an explanation of the word genome, it says the complete set of genetic material of a human, animal, plant, or other living thing.
Okay, so the research that they're currently doing is really helping to learn about this disease a lot more. Well, let's go on to our next reading to find out even more information.
The team's finding may refine the search for better treatments for schizophrenia. The disorder is currently treated with lifelong antipsychotic medication, which can tame the delusions that come with the disease, but do little to blunt schizophrenia's subtler cognitive impairments. They also come with severe side effects, such as extreme weight gain, metabolic disorders, and the development of uncontrollable facial tics and body movements. With a better understanding of the molecular processes set in motion by errant genes, scientists can hope to develop more precise ways to treat and perhaps even prevent the brain changes seen in schizophrenia.
Okay, listeners, so we're learning that this research being done by this team at MIT and Harvard Medical School is helping to uncover what is happening with the biology of schizophrenia. Now, what, as we go into this next paragraph here, Campbell, what will the team's findings do?
Well, I mean, this is the whole goal of many scientific studies. They want to find a cure. They want to find a treatment for schizophrenia.
Mm.
They want to find some way to help these people and to alleviate some of that lifelong burden that we were talking about
right.
earlier.
When I was reading this article, I kept thinking, they want to help these people do life better because it's really difficult right now. It's a stress for them. It's a stress for their family. And here they're trying to do something that will make things better.
Right. I mean, in a way, right now, the only way to deal with it for the most part is to learn how to cope. Right, and learn how to work with the disease.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to cure the disease right now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, yeah, and they are hoping that this will help for better treatments of schizophrenia. How is the disorder currently being treated, Lois?
Well, it says with lifelong antipsychotic medication, which contain the delusions that come with the disease, but do little to blunt schizophrenia's subtler cognitive impairments. And the problem most specialists will tell you, I know this from my own family's experience and also from friends, is sometimes when you do drug treatments of these people, they think, I'm so much better. I don't need to take the medication anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get off it. They're an adult, so they make a decision. They get off it. And then it's like, oh, we're going to have to start all over again. And so I know that for any medical professional or medical team, they want an alternative to this because this happens repeatedly with patients.
Right. And we do go on to see some of these impairments do happen cognitively in their understanding. And impairment is one of our vocabulary focus words. And it is a noun, just saying that something is spoiled or weakened or less effective. But this medication also comes with severe side effects, which is possibly what these people are trying to avoid, Lois, right, that you mentioned when they don't want to take it, such as extreme weight gain, metabolic disorders, that means it's playing or disrupting your metabolic rate in your body. They also have uncontrollable facial tics, which means their facial muscles move uncontrollably. They cannot control them. And also body movements. But Campbell, in this last paragraph, what are they hoping will happen through this study?
Well, they're hoping that with a better understanding of the molecular process set in motion by errant genes, that they can develop more precise ways to treat and perhaps even prevent this disease.
So an errant gene is an abnormal gene, so they're hoping for a more exact way to treat the illness of schizophrenia. Well, we hope that there is more discovered through these studies to help people with schizophrenia, and we thank you for joining us today. Everybody did a great job. It was a difficult lesson. A lot of words there, a lot of scientific words there. We hope you learned a lot more English vocabulary today. And listeners, we hope you join us next time here on Advanced Radio. But for now, this is Amanda,
Campbell,
and Lois
saying goodbye.
Bye.